Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Sunday morning roundtable discussion with our subject on spirit. We're so glad you could join us on this frosty cold day in New Jersey. We're recording today from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent in Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. And we're so glad you could join us. And Lawrence, we will start with our prayer.
I'm reading from page 120 of Watches, Prayers, and Arguments. Inasmuch as I am God's child, spiritual and not material, I must be perfect. I am whole. I am free. I have all I need every hour. I am without fear, without anxiety. I live in spirit, not in matter, error. I am not in danger. No one can harm me or deprive me of any good. I know no such thing as pain, suffering, or disease, for I am a reflection of life, truth, and love. I am never disappointed or grieved. The harmony of my being is never broken because I live in the infinite. No condition of body is essential to my happiness, for God, good only, is the spring of all my joys. My life is hid with Christ in God. Therefore, I am immortal, for nothing can be lost or die in God. Mary Baker Eddy.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. Okay, Karen, our watching point.
Watch number 108. Watch, lest you believe that unless you go through certain scientific arguments or study the lesson every morning, some accident or dreadful catastrophe might happen. Such a mistaken attitude shows an ignorance of the purpose of mental work. One does not fill his automobile with oil every morning, but he does watch the gauge and replenish the oil when it is necessary to do so. Is divine power like an automobile which will run into something if we are off guard for a moment? The student should constantly strive to keep his thought balanced or adjusted on the spiritual side. Then that which emanates from his thought will be constructive and healing. If he finds that he has temporarily lost his balance on the right side, he must make a sincere effort to gain it. Our leader forbids the use of formulas. When one uses a formula in his healing work, it means that he has more faith in the letter than in the spirit. Part of our training and growth is to learn how to formulate, through divine guidance, our own scientific tools or statements to fit each problem, and then to put back of these declarations the expectancy and inspiration that makes them efficacious. Those who use formulas are not only lose the growth that comes of building their own tools, but they erroneously believe that it is the statements which they use that do the healing. In this way, they neglect and overlook the need of the spirit. A correct understanding of Christian Science rules out faith or belief in the efficacy of the letter without the spirit. Such were vain repetition, such as the heathen use.
Thank you. Okay, I want to comment on that.
Well, I did think for a long time that just stating a bunch of truths memorized, that was going to do it or have any effect. And because I really didn't know how to have that spirit, I thought that was, I wanted to feel the spirit, but I didn't know how to do it. And so since coming here, I've been learning that that doesn't do the work. It's not just the statements of truth. I have to feel or be so aware of the presence of God within that's the goal. That's what I want to feel. And that's in the quietness. That's in being quiet. And it's helped me so much. I now know what that is, the spirit. I know what it feels like. And I know what it feels like not to have it. More importantly, when I need to replenish my oil, I know what that feels like. So it tells me I need to get back and fill up with the oil of inspiration. And it's really helped me since I've been here.
Thank you. That's beautiful. Thank you.
Reminded me, my last job, I had to interview people to try to get them to, you know, take a new position. And some people interview really well, and then it turns out they don't actually know anything. Mm-hmm. They can't do the jobs. So I just think we better make sure that we're just not interviewing well, that we're actually able to do it.
Thank you. Is that Florence?
Yeah, I think once we learn the letter, we must, you know, to each one of us, different words resonate with us. And we should be careful not for the words to just become platitudes that you just say, you know, repeat, repeat, and repeat, and think that that does the work. As Karen was saying, it is important to, you know, meditate or ponder whichever ones really feel something to you, so you get that feeling of God's presence with that word, with that, you know, whatever the sentence might be. And then you have something. You have something to use. And again, you have to practice it. You know, that's the only way I know, to actually use it to make sure that, yes, when I use such and such, it makes a difference in how I feel. And that shows me that, yes, I'm having the presence of God right here with me. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, Mrs. Evans used to oftentimes remind us that when we're studying and the truth, we're like tuning a violin. But until we put it into practice every day in everything that we do with everybody that we are with, we're not really playing the violin. We're not really making music until we actually put it into practice. And it reminds me of the Jesus' answer to the, you know, the great, what is the most important commandment? The first one is to love God, to love the truth, to love life, to love love, to love. But he said the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. So unless we take all of this studying that we do and love our neighbor, see our neighbor correctly as God's image and likeness, we're not really doing anything useful. And until we do that, that's really what matters.
Yeah, thank you. And all of those things are so true. And you know, when you've read something that resonates or hear something, you know, it sets you on fire, as Florence was saying, and so you go out and can live it better. But there should be no dead ceremonies or rituals. I mean, they were describing here was a superstition almost. You got to say all these things so your day goes well. Well, that's not what reading the lesson is about, or any of what we do is about. It is only to get into the spirit. Yes, you've tuned your instrument, and then you've got to play it. You can't just leave it there tuned.
It's almost like OCD, you know, having to lock the door three times or whatever.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I feel like it's so important.
What was that?
I was just going to say, for me, it's been so important not to be discouraged if you think you're not, you know, hearing or feeling God. You just have to really, really persist in acknowledging his presence, because you can know it. You can know it all you want, but until you really feel that like click of God is right here with me, and it's so huge, you know, it's easy to get discouraged, but you just have to. I was one too that didn't really just went around with the all the statements and the quotes and that, you know, I have to say, you know, was very powerful in my life too, because I had a great love for God, but to feel that presence is something like nothing else. And once you key into how you do that, it's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, and reading and saying the words are important, but again, as a tune-up. What Jeremy said reminded me something I read recently. This was a true story. It was, this man was on an elevator with some other people. He was in the back of the elevator, and the guy in the front of the elevator was having trouble getting out of the elevator. I guess maybe a trouble walking or something. So everyone else just kind of ignored him and didn't pay any attention. But this guy in the back went, shoved his way through to the front and helped the guy. Okay. So it turns out that the guy that he helped was the owner of some company, and they were all interviewing that guy. And guess who got the job? The guy that got the job was the guy who helped him. And he didn't even interview anybody. He came in, he looked around the room, and he said, "I'm hiring you." Now, why? Because he expressed the love and the spirit of it. And he didn't really even care what people had to say. Like Jeremy said, you can say the words, but this guy lived it. He had love in his heart and he was helpful. So he got the job. And that's, to me, an example of the living it and feeling it and doing it rather than just quoting. I'm sure the rest maybe had very fine resumes, but he lived it.
And maybe they could interview well, too.
Maybe they could.
It's also reminded me, it wasn't in the lesson, but, you know, Eli's sons went to war against the Philistines. They were always under attack by the Philistines. And Eli's sons thought that it would protect them if they would carry the Ark of the Covenant with them into the battle. Well, you know, that's like taking the letter into the hospital and trying to heal people. I mean, it that didn't work out very well. And they all died.
Yeah. How could they, when they were doing all the stuff that they were doing and carrying the ark? I mean, what a contrast.
They were totally missing the spirit. Exactly.
Yeah. So.
I think, too, one important thing for me, anyway, is that I have to always make sure what is my motive for prayer, because if I'm trying to get something, get a healing, get supply, just get, or do I have anything, any self there, that also is going to separate me from what I'm, anyway, that just not helpful. I realize that I have to give. I'm doing this to give, to share, to bless others. And in doing that, then I receive. But I can't start praying or touching the spirit with any purpose other than to just give. And so that also corrected my thinking too about why I'm doing all this. And also the spirit, in the Bible it says the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Mrs. Eddy says the human mind is not a factor in this science. The human mind is, it's not about the human mind and how we fill the human mind with a bunch of truths. So it's not the flesh that profit, it's the spirit that quickeneth. So all these have helped me to just be more in touch with God and feel his power and presence within me.
Thank you.
And the first time Mrs. Evans made the statement that the human mind is a murderer. Mm-hmm. Well, mortal mind is a murderer. So unless the human mind adopts and yields to the divine mind, well, you don't want to go there.
Yeah.
But it shocked me the first time she said that. But when I thought about it, And after I lived a few years, I appreciated very much what she said.
Yeah. Yep. You don't want to be there. So, and you don't have to. There's only the one mind, truly, but you just need to claim it and feel it and know it. And feeling it and hearing God's presence and power. Many of you were saying how you do that. In quietness and confidence, she'll be your strength. And also in gratitude, true gratitude. You see God in your life working. Because we're always focused on what's wrong. The human mind is focused on what's wrong. And in the meantime, there's all this tremendous good all around you. And sometimes you don't appreciate it until sometimes it's gone. Speaking temporarily.
Well, I said that was part of how Elihu helped Job. By letting him see what goodness God is doing all the time for mankind.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So check yourself frequently. You know, what are you in the negative human mind, or are you grateful and seeing the good all around you, all the good that God is giving, pouring forth, and that beautiful hymn, the one about all the good in the past is ours now, today, because good never quits. It's always with us. It's God good. We just have to acknowledge that. So gratitude, being still, not being so wrapped up in materiality. I mean, saying ways to hear God's voice. And if you enjoy just being out with people and doing this and doing that all day long, some of that can be good, but only if you keep the spirit in you. And make sure that you don't breathe an immoral atmosphere unless an attempt to purify it. Otherwise, you can just get so cluttered, your thoughts so cluttered with the things of the world, you can't hear God's voice. That's why your affections must be spiritward. These are all aids in hearing his voice. And hearing his voice perhaps is the most important thing any of us have to do. And that article by Bigdale Young, God is Individual Consciousness. That's it. He's your consciousness. You can't help but hear him if you're listening. He's there. He's talking all the time. He's your thinking, so to speak, your thoughts. But those are the enduring, the good, and the true ones. Jeremy, would you read the golden text?
Sure. Deuteronomy. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee.
Now, I love this. I mentioned it yesterday. We had a great Bible study yesterday. Thank you, Tom, and everyone. He made you to hear his voice. Okay, so if you think you're not, well, that's an excuse, right? Because he made you. That's error telling you. You are made to hear his voice. We are all without excuse. And why? Yeah, so he can instruct us. Tell us everything we need to know at every moment of the day, always. He made you that way. It's not a question if or maybe. It's a fact. He made you.
And why? Because that is divine love. It is for our own good. Everything about him and everything that he asks you to do, to think, to say, is out of love. And it can't harm us in any way. It can only bless us. And it'll bless those around us more than we can bless anybody ourselves.
Now, go ahead, Florence.
No, a caution here, because I think often we have to know that anything ungodlike or anything negative that comes could not possibly come from God. But it's interesting how error can get us to repeat what it's saying because you hear often, I can't hear God, I can't hear him, I just can't hear, you know, you're repeating what it wants you to do instead of reversing it. It's just one of the things I've found that, okay, I got to be cautious about this and make sure that I reverse instead of repeating what error wants me to say.
Thank you.
Yeah, right before Stan Porter at the door, right before is reverse the case.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. No, it's it gets you going it with these negative suggestions that you will listen to and buy, and that's absolutely one of the very first. You can't hear the voice, you don't know how to be grateful, you don't know how to love, you don't know this, you don't know that. Well, pretty soon, yeah, you don't know a lot of things. But you've done it to yourself by repeating false.
The lie.
Yeah, thank you. So, and that's how it gets started. It gets started with these little wedges that you'll believe. So watch it. Someone, I think it might have been Margaret Marshall, a long time ago, she wrote these little cards with a quote from Gilbert Carpenter. And it's called Listening to God. If you ever expect to hear the voice of God, you must accept the proposition that his voice is now sending out its messages continuously. And doing this because you possess a capacity to hear it. No one can rob you of that. And the reason you do not hear it is because of your lack of focusing your attention on that fact by letting other things occupy your thought. Thus, you postpone your effort and fail to receive. Man does receive and hear the voice of God when he seeks it and makes the effort to gain it. But he is not conscious of having done so until a need arises. When he voices that which he himself never knew, then he knows that it is God talking through him. So when you seek to hear God's voice and do not seem to do it, do not be disappointed. Every day, make the effort to open your thought and let God talk to you. And if you are not conscious of his doing so, if you do not hear it with your material ears, or even conscious of it with your conscious thought, take it on good faith. Believe that it is being recorded on the tablet of your mind, that you are laying up treasure in heaven, in your spiritual consciousness. And when the right time comes, you will be able to give it out and know what God has been saying to you by what you say to another. So I found that interesting and helpful. And I know many of you, I mean, it's a sure sign it's God speaking when it just comes to you, right? It's nothing you're even seeking. There's just an idea will just come. And as Florence brought out, it's not a negative thought. It's a inspiring, illuminating, and designating the way. It's a thought from love. And then when you go forth and do it, as that man helped in the elevator, helped the other guy get out of the elevator, when you do it, you'll find out it was the right thought, most definitely. If it's a loving thought, the motive is someone else brought out. And then you can share it with others because you've made it yours. But hearing God's voice should be something very natural and actually easy to do if you practice it and cherish it and realize that it's happening. What do you do, Carol, when you do the Liberator?
Oh, I have my little chats with God. Mm-hmm. I'll sit there and I'll not be sure what God wants or what should go next. And I'll just sit back and I'll ask him. And I get the answer. But it takes a while to get into that. Mm-hmm. I found that out too in the beginning. It was, you know, it was difficult to hear. But the more you listen, the more you tune in to God, you get the answers and you get the right thing that needs to be done.
Yes.
You know, it makes me think about Mary Baker Eddy saying she was a scribe under orders. You know, when an artist paints, they are a scribe under orders. They're saying, God is painting, so you're just listening to God, and God is just working through you. I think this is when healing is effortless.
Thank you. My burden is light. Yoke is easy. And Florence, what were you telling me about that watching point and watching versus watching out?
Oh, it's what, page 232?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, also miscellaneous. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, Karen in the biographies by Doris Greco found that it was mentioned there as well that the watching versus watching out is not something that Mrs. Eddy was very happy about at all. It was written as an editorial, and she criticized it. Let's see.
And put an apology. She wanted an apology for it.
Yeah.
Printed in the Sentinel.
Yeah. Because she didn't, you know, on page 232 of Miscellany, it says, comment on editorial which appeared in the Christian Science Sentinel, September 23, 1905. You know, it wasn't, John Willis was a very, great literary writer or something. He was good at writing, and so she wrote it. But Mrs. Eddy did not like it. It lacked the spirit, right? Yeah. That's why she said no.
Yeah, that was the thing. It did not.
Lacked the spirit. Yeah,
that was the point. It did not have the spirit. The words were correct. It didn't have the spirit, and then it goes on and. This is something we must all be aware of in our everyday life, but certainly whatever you do for church, that the spirit, the unction is behind it. Whether you are reading, whether you're writing a lesson, whatever you're doing, it is the spirit of God behind it, or is it just words? So, and that's... go ahead.
No, I'm thinking of Christ Jesus and how in all his praying, he went to pray and all. To stay as a transparency for the Spirit to do the work, right? That's what comes to me. Like, that's what an example it is, and I'm sure Mrs. Eddy did the same. So that the Spirit comes through them, they remain in transparency for it.
And never think you've got it down pat, you know. Yeah. That's just when it'll not be right. Yeah. You can't just assume you're a good reader or a good this or a good that.
Yeah.
No, it's only God that's good. And as much as you reflect God, will it be good? Otherwise, it will not.
Those of
it's all
you
about
who...
getting self out of the way. Get self out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and those of you who write lessons, for example, you experience that, right?
Yes.
In this case, you know, the article was an intellectual exercise. The guy was intellectually very capable. Mm-hmm. And the words seemed fine. But the test of everything that we write is, will it heal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Will people be healed and uplifted when they read it?
Yeah, that's always the test. Always. And no.
That kind of reminds me.
No authorized or unauthorized literature. It's, will it heal? And if it's of God, it will heal. Go ahead.
It just reminds me of how Mrs. Eddy demanded those demonstrations in her household. Of it being a spirit and not just some sort of human, you know, good cooking or whatever it was. She knew if the spirit was there.
Thank you. Yes. Yep. That's if the food wasn't cooked with love, it didn't agree with her. She had a high standard.
Charity, will you share what you sent to me?
This is about The Language of Spirit by Mary Baker Eddy. And I'll just read a little bit of it. The short sentence of the beloved disciple, St. John, is familiar to all, namely, God is love. No higher term nor human conception can be entertained of deity than that he gave it, that he gave. It is equally plain that if God is love, he is also spirit, even as the scriptures declare, God is a spirit. Here, thought is arrested with this great questioning. How shall we commune with spirit? The answer is, spiritually. We cannot commune with spirit materially. And what is the language of spirit and spiritual communion? Certainly, it is spiritual. The German talks in the German language, the Frenchman, etc. That native tongue is more natural in which to talk and write. Now, what is the language of Christian Scientists? It is the new language Christendom has taught and written in both languages, the spiritual and material, but talks of the one principle and its various denominations with one tongue, namely the spiritual, the language of spirit.
Yeah, and that's Mary Baker Eddy in the Red Book. Yeah. And she says, you know, read with me or talk with me in the language of spirit, which is the language that heals and blesses, and you can feel it. You can feel it. It's not just the dead words. And I love it in the chapter on prayer where Mrs. Eddy says that, you know, we can have audience with spirit. So we are given this tremendous privilege at all times to hear his voice. And if you think you haven't, well, first of all, tell yourself, yes, you can, and you do, and you have. Get rid of this, I can't, I don't hear it, just shut up, okay? Cut it out, get rid of it. You do hear, you do know, you have to start with that. How else can the door open if you're always closing it in your face? So open it with that, and then be quiet and still and be grateful and realize many times, as that little thing from Carpenter says, you have heard it. Of course you've heard it. You wouldn't be here today if you haven't heard it. It's been guiding you all through your life. And isn't that wonderful?
It is. Comes back to my favorite Martha Wilcox quote, a prepared thought is a doorway through which revelation comes.
Thank you. Yes. And that's why, too, that, you know, even before you open your textbook, to know this is the word of God talking to you. This is fact. This is truth. This is your biography. All that, yeah, blah, 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 you've heard all through the day, the harsh noises of the day. That's not fact. That's not true. What you're listening to now is. But get your thought in that frame of mind. So you're not questioning or, well, this sounds nice or this is pleasant to read, but I don't, deep inside, I don't really believe it. No. This is it. This is the truth. Accept it and know it is true. It's your Father speaking directly to you. And that is how Mrs. Eddy interpreted the Bible for us in Science and Health. And she interpreted Christ Jesus, certainly. And Christ Jesus interpreted God for us. Okay? They were the great interpreters. There's a beautiful article Carrie sent called Interpreters by Irving Tomlinson, someone I greatly love. He did the 12 years of with Mary Baker Eddy. And he, too, is talking about this idea of to hear God's voice, we need a translator. Jesus was a translator, interpreter. So was Mrs. Eddy with Science and Health. The interpreter of the book of books, which allows us to see things clearly and to speak with a new tongue of spirit. So it is, the language might be a little different, might be a little not what you're used to, but that doesn't mean you can't understand it. You can. So always know that. Always know that. Someone going to say something? No? Okay. Well, and in the responsive reading, and I've mentioned this often, that Colossians 1, it is the perfect prayer, impersonal prayer for yourself, for anyone that you love. There's no personal desires in this prayer. It's just saying to, they're praying always for you. Never cease to pray for you, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might be worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. It's a beautiful prayer. And there's no, you know, I want this for that person, or why didn't this person do that to me, or why this is what I want. I want this in my life. And if I don't get it, I'm going to be angry with you, God. This is a pure, unselfish, impersonal prayer. It should be all of our, first and foremost, our prayer. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. That's your prayer. And then all these other things shall be added unto you if you pray that sincerely. But that is the prayer. Not, you can say, oh, dear Lord, I want that house across the street. I hope it goes for sale. You can say that. God always knows our thoughts anyway. But then, thy will be done always. Thy will be done. And you have to mean it. Otherwise, it's not a good prayer, is it? No, it's a selfish prayer. So
also, it tells you don't know the nature of God, who knows our need before we ask
right.
him.
That's right. And is supplying the need always. Someone phone. Anyway, well, thank you. Yes, that's right. Our supplies are always, he gives us what we need, not always what we want. Now, I've mentioned the Herbert Reiki many times recently. And then the Association Addresses, Volume 6, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, I mentioned about the music of the spheres, which was so beautiful that this scientist, Professor Andrews from John Hopkins, discovered actually we're all composed of music. And music and math are what?
The only pure sciences.
Mm-hmm. Besides, of course, Christian
Besides
science.
Christian science.
Yeah. Pure. And he, Reiki does this whole section on the infinitesimals. And I think it's something I don't know whether I've really thought about as much as he does in this article. And it's so important. You know, we think of the universe, the stars and all of that. But then do we think of all this little tiny, tiny little things, the atoms and all of that, that supposedly make us up? And it's very important that we do understand that it's all God everywhere. It's all God. He says, the basic reality of your being, the very substance of your existence, is not dust, particles, or bits of flesh. The basic reality of your being, and this goes along with Professor Andrews, is music, beautiful, symphonic music, more glorious than the world has ever heard. If you've been thinking about yourself or your body as material, you're all wrong. The ultimate of you is concord, harmony, music. It was brought out in Dr. Andrews' paper that it is not physical music, but truly spiritual music. It's a song of the angels. And that is what you're really made up of. Of course, these ideas aren't altogether new. David once wrote, speaking of the infinitesimal, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Psalm 51. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. This was something Mrs. Evans had given us years ago about truth going into your inward parts. You think you have something in your body that's not right. Well, truth, you send that truth into your inward parts. There's nothing there but God, good, truth, spirit. You're not material. You are spiritual. And you're perfect in that now. And then many people know the truth about the all overall picture, the without, but they neglect the little thoughts within. In the Song of Solomon, we read about the little foxes that spoil the vines. Mrs. Eddy elaborates on this point, saying, seeing that we have to attain the ministry of righteousness in all things, this is a quote, we must not overlook small things in goodness or in badness, for trifles make perfection, and the little foxes spoil the vine. That's miscellany. Most sicknesses come from not realizing the truth about our within. Failing to recognize that the basic reality of our being is music, sweet harmonies, concord. What's going on in you? Is there ravening and wickedness? Or is there sweet concord, the music of the fears? May I remind you that even the physical scientists are saying the basic of your harmony, the basic of you is harmony, not conflict, peace, not war. Music, not discord. So we think about these things, and we've, you know, that beautiful article Eustace does on germs, that they have to be good. Germs have to be good because God is good. That testimony of the little boy who was healed, we had it a few months ago, of having the flu, because he knew, he said, Mommy, you know, there can't be any contagion. God is good. So all there is good, and I can't be sick. And he was healed just with that inspirational thought. And it this article goes on to handle, you know, the belief of cancer. That's a belief of, you know, these cells and that cell's doing various things. Well, that's impossible because you are the music of the spheres. That's a damnable lie. It's not true. It was never true about anybody, anywhere. And then also, he goes deeply into heredity. And that, too, people think, you know, because you have whatever DNA or something from your parents, that means you're going to have this or that. There's no God in any of that. All the molecules, all the infinitesimal of your being is in God. Your inheritance is all good. But to bring this out, says our experience is one of the wonderful heritage of our knowledge of God. We also have a glorious opportunity and responsibility to pass on these highest spiritual social genes, the knowledge of God, the universe of man, to our children. So, this is the spiritual heritage he has given you and me. You too are spiritual and perfect all the way through. You are not a spiritual idea who possesses a material body. The only body you have is the embodiment of right ideas. Mrs. Eddy says that. From the infinitesimal to the infinite. Your identity is spiritual and perfect. That's why there's nothing in you to be sick or imperfect. There is no force within you to cause you or any part of you to misbehave. There is not a cell of your being that can be delinquent, that can rebel, that can be naughty, discordant, or destructive. The only body you have is spiritual, a beautiful symphony of music. So that's all just so beautiful. And this is the allness of spirit everywhere. Every part of you, and to acknowledge it. Because honestly, in the practice, I've known so many people, especially the heredity thing, you know, they might know their science, but then, oh, what's my Aunt Gracie had this or that, and I'm having it too. Well, where in the world did they get that from? It's not in the textbook.
It's not in first Genesis either.
What say?
It's not in first Genesis.
It's not. No. No, where did you get that? But if you're out in the world listening to all this stuff and agreeing with it and not standing port at the door of thought, then you come under the belief of these material laws, so-called material laws.
And that's just the belief that somebody, something other than God created you, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Or has power. Or even
that's having another God besides God. And this is why, you know, this getting down to the infinitesimal as well as the infinite, I think is one of the reasons why Albert Einstein was so attracted to Christian Science, to the textbook. Because he helped mankind discover that atoms were not material. The so-called building blocks of matter aren't material. They aren't matter at all. Their energy, or something other than matter. Well, and Christian Science explains everything is spirit.
Yes. And you know, this handles this also this prevalent belief right now about, well, I say the three A's, allergies, autism, Alzheimer's, the three big A's, which one do you want? All of this is all based on this belief of life in matter, or that you got some bad gene and you're some innocent child gets a bad gene. Well, where did that come from? But you see, this is why as scientists, we must be porter at the door of thought. People like to accept, oh, I have a wonderful family. Oh, I love my family, I have this big family and everything's so hunky-dory. And then whoops, no. You have the family of God, and in there, everything's hunky and dory. You don't go into this material picture of your human family being so, Mrs. Evans was relentless on that. I was shocked when I first got here. Are you kidding me? Because I was big on family. But I had to learn that no, it's we're all children of God. All of us. We're all relatives. We all love each other. We're all one in Christ. And if you think you're better than anybody else, or your family's better than anyone else, or less better, you're in the wrong mind, and you will reap what you sow. So don't go there. That's the mortal dream.
That thing you greatly feared will come upon you.
Yes. Yes.
When you sign up.
What's that?
No, I was going to say, when you sign up for that human belief in family, then you are inadvertently accepting all those false beliefs that come with it.
You definitely are.
That you don't want.
And that's the point. So you think you're okay. Maybe you do have a nice family. Well, good for you. You can be grateful and see the good in your family as God-given. God-given. But you got to make sure you bring it back to God. Herbert Eustace. Herbert Reiki says, Mrs. Eddy also writes, Christian Science, full of grace and truth, is accomplishing great good, both seen and unseen. But have mortals with the penetration of soul searched the secret chambers of sense? It's a miscellany. Mrs. Eddy expected us to take a good look within, to search the secret chambers of sense and recognize, realize, and demonstrate that there is no evil, no matter, no black, in quote, black genes, bad genes, no discord, no inharmony within. She expected us to face the facts of being, that man is not mortal, a materially sensed creature, but that he is the very radiation of soul, the expression of harmony. He is beautiful music. Take a good look within and recognize that your heritage is wonderful. For you are the child of the perfect Father, Mother, God. Take a look also without and recognize that you live in the environment of heaven where all is perfect. Mrs. Eddy tells us that it is principle that holds the world in its orbit, that commands the waves and the winds, that marks the sparrow's fall, and that governs all of the infinitesimals to the infinite, namely God. Miscellany. So be strong there and be clear, and you will bless yourself, your family, and the world with this, because this is the truth. Remember, this is the fact. Don't believe the lie. Mm-hmm. It wants you to take all of this garbage in, garbage out, right? So stay with this truth and know it is the truth, and you will be greatly blessed. One thing I love from Isaiah too, you know, Isaiah, I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. That is God's promise. That doesn't say anything about bad genes or the father's teeth were set on edge and all that kind of thing. No. So we rule out all that three A's, that garbage. And right now, too, the other big thing now, you know, you go to the doctors and they can look at every little tiny thing of your whole body. You want them to see this and that. Herbert Rieke says you go in, you want to peek here, you want to peek there. And if the doctor doesn't tell you what you want to hear, you go to another doctor so they can peek here and they can peek there. They look inside you and see every little thing. So what are they going to see? The glory of God? Or some false caricature of you. So be mindful of that too, because that's the new medical science, is to look at every little thing. If they can't find one thing wrong with you, goodness, look. They'll keep looking until they do.
There's gotta be something there.
Oh, thanks, but no thanks. Okay, we're gonna end with a lovely William P. McKinsey excerpt sent to us by Carrie, A New Heart.
He writes, Paul, quoting from a psalm of his people, credits its inspiration to divine mind, saying, quote, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. End quote. The heart hardened is unsusceptible to spiritual influences because deceived by sin. But the new heart will surely mean a consciousness expressing the influences of spirit that heals and blesses. A consciousness of good, which no mesmerism of evil can invade. It must be a new understanding of life itself, fulfilling the promise of science and health on page 264, quote, when we realize that life is spirit, never in nor of matter, this understanding will expand into self-completeness, finding all in God, good, and needing no other consciousness, end quote. Can we find a better term for this new heart given by God than by naming it the Christ Spirit? Made alive by this, we recognize old things to have passed away and find a renewing as of dawn brightening a valley or spring reviving a whole countryside, or a prophet's vision enlightening a world, whereby joy and vivifying life and brotherly love enrich us. Lacking these, how dark and cold and hateful can be the experiences of men. Mrs. Eddy speaks of herself as knowing both the old and the new. But she has become the revelator by whom all in the world may know and rejoice in the new, may rejoice in dawn and spring and enlightenment. In Miscellaneous Writings, page 178, our leader says, quote, in the flesh, we are as a partition wall between the old and the new, between the old religion in which we have been educated and the new, living, impersonal Christ thought that has been given to the world today. End quote.
Thank you all so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.